This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. People in Cuba will surely remember this day, a visit by the President of the United States. Obama has landed one huge leap for regional politics and a leap away from the Cold War. Just the picture of Raul Castro and Barack Obama walking in a receiving line with an honor guard playing was transformative. Castro and Obama followed up with a joint news appearance at the Palace of the Revolution.
And I'm especially pleased that I'm joined on this trip by so many Cuban Americans. For them, and for the more than 2 million proud Cuban Americans across the United States, this is a moment filled with great emotion. Ever since we made it easier to travel between our countries, more Cuban Americans are coming home. And for many, this is a time of new hope for the future.
Heady stuff from Havana. We will also meet this hour a man who remembers every event in his life with equal vividness. Presidential visits, buying cat food, all the same in his curious brain that sees every moment of the last 15 years. Hard to know if that's an advantage, but we will talk to him and get a real feel of what it's like to be in his brain. Plus, disruptors in business that sometimes managers overreact to. But we begin with an historic 3-day presidential visit to Havana, Cuba, underway. It's been almost 90 years since the last American president in office, Calvin Coolidge, visited the island. And there is a lot on the agenda. Besides a meeting with Cuban President Raul Castro, there's some time with Cuban dissidents and a Major League Baseball exhibition game. The climax of today's events is the president laying a wreath at the memorial to the Cuban independence hero, José Martí. Ray Suarez knows well the significance of that gesture. He's the host of Al Jazeera America's Inside Story and author of Latino Americans, the 500-year legacy that shaped the nation. He says the diplomatic efforts underway today will unearth a long and deep history between the U.S. and Cuba, filled with warmth and regrets.
A lot of Americans don't know that the United States tried to buy Cuba, just buy it outright, several times in the 19th century. The earlier attempts were part of a broad view by American slaveholders in the South that Cuba was a natural next outpost for the United States and would increase the status of the United States as a slaveholding republic and allow agricultural interests to expand to tropical production like sugar and tobacco. And it didn't happen. There were overt and covert encouragements to Cuban revolutionaries to revolt against the crown of Spain in the hopes that American interests could eventually control Cuba. There is a long and tangled history between the two countries that went as far as the 20th century, when after the war with Spain, which liberated Cuba from the Spanish Empire, the United States passed an amendment in Washington that explicitly gave the United States interest and control over Cuban affairs. The country reserved for itself the right to reinvade Cuba if things didn't go in a way that Uncle Sam thought were headed in the right direction.
Would you say that the encouragement of revolutionary movements to throw off the Spanish crown sowed the seeds for the revolutionary movements that came back in the 1950s?
Sure, because to the revolutionaries who eventually triumphed and took Havana on New Year's Day 1959, their revolution was the successor to the Spanish Revolution. They thought they were throwing Uncle Sam out, among other things. So they thought of themselves as successors to José Martí and the leaders of the 19th century revolution. You know, José Martí is one of the few figures of the last, 100 plus years that Cubans on both sides of the Florida Strait agree on: his stature, his importance, his centrality as a symbol of the Cuban nation. And they both claim his legacy. But he's someone that I hope the president's wreath laying will wake up Americans to, because he is a fascinating figure. Because he was involved in an anti-Spanish movement in the first unsuccessful Cuban War of Liberation, he was exiled and spent many of his years in exile here in the United States, 12 years in all. And when he first got here, he was in love with the United States and wrote moving, beautiful essays about the nature of democratic man. He covered the trial of the assassin of James Garfield and the national debate over whether or not that person should be executed. He was at the center of Caribbean exile politics from New York, where in league with other Cuban exiles and with Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, made common cause to kick the remnants of the Spanish Empire out of the Caribbean. So he is a fascinating Pan-American figure, as well as a great Cuban hero.
Since I know you're such a passionate lover of history, you'll take this question in the spirit in which it is directed at you. Would you say Martí is a George Washington, is a Benjamin Franklin, or a Alexander Hamilton, since Hamilton is so popular these days as a kind of revisionist figure in pan-American history?
Well, you know, he combines elements of all of them. But he's also a tragic figure because as they lit the match to begin the second War of Independence in Cuba, he, after tirelessly spending years on the move, raising funds to fight this second war, goes back to Cuba and is killed years before the American invasion. So he does not live to see the independence of Cuba. He does not live to see the liberation of Cuba. So I think the outcome of the Spanish-American War, where Cuba is freed from Spain but then falls under the hegemony of the United States, is an outcome that would have broken Martí's spirit and broken his heart.
What would you make of the Obama visit in total here? Is it a Obama legacy visit more for him than for the region and for history? Or is it a Nixon goes to China kind of thing?
You know, it's both. This will certainly be part of any history that's written of the Obama years. But it's also doing a lot of practical work toward reopening a relationship with geographically one of the country's closest neighbors that has been estranged for more than half a century. There are things that are highly symbolic, like the wreath laying at the Martí Monument, which will have tremendous import for Cubans in the United States and Cubans on the island. But they're also opening more agricultural trade possibilities, negotiating on banking regulations. President Obama is already lifting some of the restrictions that have made doing business, not only for Americans, but for everybody with Cuba, a lot easier, a lot more straightforward, a lot less constrained by some of the Cold War era actions of the last 20 years, certainly.
Glossing over the Cold War and all the business talk that's been everywhere, really, in the last nearly a year now, how emotional is all this as Obama does these things that no one would have imagined 5 years ago?
Well, I think the real effect of these things will be seen long after he leaves the White House, if someday the Cuban people can have a representative government that they choose, that does not constrain their freedoms, that does not constrain their human rights. That will be for another president to see. But boy, what a necessary set of first steps this is, if those days are ever to come. The Obama administration believes, as other presidents believed in our relationships with other countries like Vietnam and China, that you need to talk in order to undo the hostility and the estrangement of recent decades. Many of the president's critics, certainly in the Congress, certainly among organized Cuban exile groups, say the opposite. The president has made his choice. I guess history will give us the verdict. as to whether these openings work.
He's host of Al Jazeera America's Inside Story, Ray Suarez, who's the author of the 2013 book Latino Americans. Ray, thanks so much.
A pleasure, John.